So like in the last time we've completed the third part of the introduction to the devout life, you know, St. Francis talking about the practice of virtues. So in the last time, you know, he also get into some of the details about, you know, in our daily life, we don't wait for big opportunity, we make use of the small opportunity every day to become holy. And then he also dealt with that we need to be reasonable, not just go by the feeling, being biased, you know, but always we have to be considerate of other people, put ourselves into another person's position with our mind so that we can always be just and fair. One practical suggestion he gave was that when you are selling, think as if you are the one buying. If you are buying, think as if you are the one selling. So put yourself in the other person's position. And then he also talking about desire. Our desire should be reasonable according to our calling, according to our vocation, but not something that is unreasonable, that can dominate us but lead us nowhere, waste of time. And then in part four, basically part four of the introduction to devout life deal with temptations and trials. We all have our spiritual combat, our spiritual war have to make in our life. And so we have to know how to fight the spiritual battle. So in the first couple of chapters, basically it's about courage. And then in the next eight chapters, it's about temptation. And then in the last five, they deal with something like anxiety, like consolation, desolation, topics like that. So today we will just deal with the courage, because I promise that I will also share a bit of my own vocation story since my anniversary coming up, you know, 8 years, you know, I will tell you about 8 years later on. But anyhow, we will just begin with the part four, those two chapters on the, you know, about courage. And of course, Jesus mentioned, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So it's really, St. Francis pointed out that the world always biased, you know, and people party all night for a whole month, they say nothing about that. And people pay mahjong or card for a long time, they would not complain anything. But you spend one night praying, they will complain. If you want to spend time to go to mass more often in the weekday, they will complain, you know. And so I think one of the things, I think he may be a king, you know, thinking, you know, people will say that, oh, why you go to mass every day, you know. And then he say, if I go for hunting every day, nobody will complain anything. But I go to mass every day, then people complain. So the world is always kind to his own people, you know, but always uncharitable to the people of God. And so St. Francis basically say, the only thing you have to do is just, you know, don't even try to please the world, you know, it's a waste of time. You know, if you want to satisfy the world, it's impossible. It's so exacting. You will never satisfy the world. It's a waste of time. And then he wrote, the world always thinks evil. And if it cannot find fault with our actions, it will attack our motives. So if our action is nothing to be, cannot attack, they will attack that, oh, you just want to do things to show off or whatever. They will attack your action. So he also wrote, you know, the world ever casting its evil eye upon us. Nothing we can do will please it. And then, so if we have failing, it would just make it a big deal. And then, you know, it will publish that as, you know, just failure, they will publish that as something sinful. And then if you have venial sin, they will publish that as mortal sin. And then if you have sins of weakness, they will publish that as sins of malice. So, you know how the media do things, we don't have to explain too much, you know, they always do that to Christian. So, and so St. Francis say, let us leave the blind world to make as much noise as it may. You know, so it's, but we should be firm on our way, unchangeable in our resolutions, and perseverance will be the test of our self-surrender to God and our deliberate choice of the devout life. So, but also, you know, you think about the shooting star, you know, they can make light, but after a while disappear. But the star that is in heaven for a long time, you know, they also make light, but they last for a long, long time. So sometimes, you know, when people do things without good intention, you know, hypocrisy, they do good things outwardly, but inwardly it's not good. Or somebody who really doing good work, but with a sincere heart, you can see if the, you know, you can see the fruit, and then you can know, is that something really genuine? If somebody doing thing, good thing with a bad heart, it's like the shooting star, it will make light, it can be bright for a while, but later on, it will just die out, it won't endure. But when somebody is doing something really sincerely for God, you know, the work will make light, but also it will last, it will continue. So, of course, we know that quite often, you know, unfortunately, you know, we see quite often, if you have been around in the church for a long time, you know, there have been different initiatives, there have been different things that people start. Sometimes it makes some noise and light, but after a while, all die out. Nothing endure. Nothing as it had happened, you know. Because, you know, quite often the work itself is not on firm ground. It's not done with good intention, you know. So it's really important for us to know that, you know, for us as a warning for ourselves too, you know, sometimes we can do things that look like it's really good to other people. People might think that we are saints. But if you are not doing that for God, the work will die. It won't continue. So it's really important for us, you know, to do things with the right intention. Do it for God. And then St. Francis also talking about that, you know, sometimes when we start to be serious about our spiritual life, you know, there will be some discouragement. You know, there can be, you know, when you want to detach yourself from the world, you might miss the world. You might find that it's a bit hard. But you know, it's part of being going to the new page of your life. So he say, just be patient. St. Francis basically telling us, you know, if the time as time go on, you will have much more consolation, you know, on your way of the spiritual life. Sometimes we can be frightened by the height of Christian imperfection, but again, we need to be patient to take one step at a time, follow the holy, the writing of the saints, inspired by them, and continue gradually by holy desires and our good resolutions. Quite often, when people at the beginning of their spiritual life, you know, they might have fear to fulfill their daily duty. You know, they might fear of effort. They might be fear of the risk being involved. They might be fear of criticism from other people. They might be fear they might displace their friends. But, you know, St. Francis asks us to reflect on. Sometimes, you know, of course, meditation and reflection is important. Quite often, people don't have much reflection or thinking in life, just keep on moving on without much thinking. But if we think about, you know, have reflection, have meditation, have time to think about, the reality is that we have to form convictions by our reflection and thinking and meditation. And those convictions will be something like, it's better to please God than human beings. We must esteem the friendship of God above all other friendships. You know, the gift of grace is much more precious than earthly goods. You know, the real evil is sin, and so we must avoid sin at all costs. So if we really serious about our interior life, we do meditation, we take time to reflect, you know, we will be gradually deeper and deeper in our heart. Those convictions will be much more firm. Then we know that we should please God rather than to please the world. We should focus on God rather than on ourselves. And of course, we know that we must rely on God rather than on our own effort or strength to become holy, to grow in the interior life. So it's the introduction to the devout life. You know, that's a introduction part of the part four. You know, St. Francis de Sales giving us, you know, that encouragement that when we are serious about our interior life, don't give up, even though you may encounter difficulties. And then, of course, you know, it's difficult to try to please God and the world at the same time. it's so important for us to focus on pleasing God rather than to please the world. Because if you are a religious person, it's next to impossible to try to please the world. Because the world is really exacting, you know, it's really hard to please the world. So anyhow, thinking about it's coming up. It's the 8th anniversary of my ordination. Because in the other prayer group, in the English prayer group in Surrey, they do ask me to share my vocation story. So since I do that for one group, I will do that for all four groups. And then I'm surprising that I actually didn't share much in the past, that I thought everybody knew about my story already by heart and know all my biography. But actually, I'm surprised that actually, when I talked to the other group, it seems to be not much was being known. But anyhow, it's interesting to know that actually my grandfather on my father's side was also a religious figure. But he was from the Tou religion. Of the Chinese religion, so it will be pretty unexpected that in the family there will be one priest and one nun. You know, myself and my cousin, and my cousin is a nun and I'm a priest. Pretty, I would say, is something you cannot even dream of. So I'm actually a second generation Catholic because my parents, you know, they become Catholic when they were in Catholic school. My father in Hong Kong, my mother in Macau. My father actually instructed my aunt to become Catholic. When his boss, mother was dying in a nursing home in Macau, my mother's grand aunt was a nun working in the nursing home. And so, you know, she really wanted the elderly lady got baptized. You know, they couldn't persuade her. And so they invited my dad to go from Hong Kong to Macau to persuade her. And so my father, because of her, of his background, of, you know, parents being of another religion, after a few moments, you know, a few sentences, he was able to persuade her to get baptized. So she was baptized, she died, she got the son won the Catholic burial in the Catholic, you know, it's hard to get a spot in Catholic cemetery. You know, the nun wanted the woman got baptized to save his soul, her soul. The son would want her to get baptized to get a cemetery spot in the cemetery. But anyhow, they both achieved. So because of that, you know, the nun really impressed with my dad, and that's how they introduced him to my mom. So that's how they started the relationship, and they got married. And so my mom moved to Macau, to Hong Kong. So basically, you can say I'm both colonies, Macau and Hong Kong, because my mom is from Macau, my dad is from Hong Kong. Anyhow, the priest who did the wedding mass was also the priest who baptized me and my cousin. He is a foreign missionary from Paris, from France. We baptized on April 18, 1976, Easter Sunday, exactly 300 years after St. Catherine Kateri. Kateri was baptized in 1676, April 18, also Easter Sunday. So we were baptized by the same priest together, and so today she is a nun, I'm a priest. I don't know what's wrong with the water on that day, but that's what happened. So we were baptized together. But one thing that is quite different is that when we were growing up, my cousin was more like the angel, I'm like the devil. Because I was the one who would not... I was the one who didn't want to go to church all the time. I didn't like to go to church. I was being forced to out to serve, which I hated at that time. I was the one who making trouble in a Sunday school. You know, we went to Sunday school. I was so naughty that, you know, my cousin one time would give me something and say, you know, okay, I give you something, but you promise you not to make any more mess in the classroom. So I was the one who actually making all the mess in the classroom. But also I would say that, you know, my childhood is a bit of a bittersweet because, I would say in elementary school in Hong Kong at that time, you know, I think it's strict education, really strict, you know, we are really strict. But also it's in a strict in such a way, if you are a bit of a shy person, I seem to like talk a lot on, today, you know, but nowadays. You cannot believe that when I was 2 years old, I don't even know how to talk at that time. My mom was a bit worried about, you know, do I really have some problem? You know, so I was not growing, I was a quiet child that was being bullied by so many people, including the teachers. So it was not an easy time. So it's also a time that I would say it's I got sick really easily. You know, when I did something wrong, I would feel so guilty. I would actually got into headache for a good number of days. I would actually got sick really easily. Anyhow, it was the time of the elementary school, and then I would say my involvement in religion is pretty minimal. You know, I go because my parents ask me to, and I oftentimes oppose. You know, so really not the kind of not unlike St. John Bosco and other things. You know, those like of the things, it was completely different. But I would say things start to change when I was in high school, because my dad was he studied in a Salesian boarding school. In the south part of Hong Kong. It was a boarding school at that time. So he knew the priest quite well there. And I said I was being bullied a lot of time. People want to pick on me all the time. I don't know why. I think I do know. But anyhow.
They're idiots.
Huh?
They bully you because they're idiots. That is why people bully. Because
I don't know. Okay, anyhow, one time I was walking back home. And then there was, you know, our school was an all-boys school, St. John of Arc School, you know, elementary school. And then the high school session is also further away, you know, from the city. So one day there was a few high school kids there, and then on my way home, and they basically bullied me. So I was so scared, and I told my dad about that. So he said, "You are not going to that high school." Because that's the expectation. You go to elementary school, you go to the same high school. You know, that's the expectation at that time in Hong Kong. But now because I was being bullied by high school students from that high school, so he said that I'm not going to that high school. So he remembered a priest that he knew from the day of his childhood, and so he brought me to see the priest who was the principal of the school at that time. So because of that, I entered into Hong Kong Tinking Fo College, which is run by the Salesian Order. So that's also the time when I have somehow a bit of a my first conversion experience. I have a few conversion experience. More than one day to convert me. So God got really patient with me. So my first conversion experience was, at least I don't oppose going to church, and I volunteered to go to church, because at that time, we are being asked to join a religious group. So I volunteered to join the outer service. I know how to serve mass already. Why not? And then I think Salesian priests, they have a method. They want to be close to the young people. And also they were so appreciation of effort, and they so friendliness. And I think that's something that how I would, because when I feel appreciated, then I would do things, you know. So I felt appreciated, so I keep on serving mass. I know I would go to mass in the morning and serve mass there. And then eventually I was actually quite involved in different groups. I was actually, I was doing altar server. I was the reader at the mass. I was also, you know, become the president of the Junior Legion of Mary. And then I was also becoming, I started the Dominic Starfield club that more than 100 members. And so it's a lot of group that I actually involved in. And at that time, you know, it's also interesting, you know, three times in my life, I got a nickname that become now my real name. I was being called Father Ho at that time in the school because of my involvement in religion. In my lifetime, I got three times that I got that nickname, and now it's my real name. So that's when I was in Hong Kong in the elementary school. So I do got quite involved in elementary school and in the high school religious activity. But the time that I start to think about the priesthood will be in the year 1990, June 16, because that's the first time when I attend an ordination. So it was a Salesian priest, you know. Now he is now a rector, a superior in one of the school in Hong Kong. So that was my first ordination that I attend. So that's the time when I start thinking. So basically, I say 8 years is a good time, because from the time I thought about to be a priest until I entered the seminary is 8 years. I entered the seminary in 1998. And then from the time I entered a seminary until my ordination is another 8 years. And now it's my 8th anniversary. So it's 24 years ago, 1990. So when I start to think about the priesthood. So, when I was involved in the Legion of Mary, I have a couple of friends that, in the region of Mary that are quite friendly. One of the friends, we do start to pray the rosary together. So that's how I start to like the rosary. Before that, I would be serving mass, but not much of the prayer life. But now, as praying the rosary make that different. So you may call that my second conversion experience. Before that, wasn't that prayerful, but only doing things. And then also another friend that actually we started the prayer group in Hong Kong. It was in 1992 in May. I say May is a good month. So 1992 in May, we started the prayer group in Hong Kong. When I started the prayer group 20 years ago, our Sunday night group, it was meant to be a continuation of the group in Hong Kong. But after I left, the group collapsed, so no more. So I don't even mention that much about that group in Hong Kong. But actually, I started a group in Hong Kong. It was actually at one point have like four different groups. You know, it was in my high school, in St. Jude Parish, or my home parish, in Kowloon, and also in St. Anthony Parish in Hong Kong. You know, perhaps, you know, I mentioned that when the work is done, not quite for God completely, the work will collapse. I say that in my own life. You know, when you are too young, you are still not mature enough to do things like that. Anyhow, but it's good learning experience. So when I came to Canada, I was heartbroken, as you can imagine, because of all the connection in Hong Kong at that time with the different group of people. And so it was 1993 when I came to Canada. And then after I came to Canada in 1994, I started the Chinese group already. 1994 April, we started that group. It was at that time, a lot of them are my classmates in high school. And in one of my high school class, I got the nickname Father Ho again, because I was outspoken in class. I wasn't afraid to demonstrate my faith. So the English teacher told me Father Ho. In my classmate was a student, you know, she is the one sitting beside me, and then I invited her to become Catholic. She got a twin sister, so she both go to the Chinese group on the Sunday night group. At that time, it was a Sunday afternoon, a morning group. So I taught them RCIA. That's my first RCIA class ever in 1995. In September, we started that RCIA. But I would say that teaching RCIA also caused my another conversion experience. Because, you know, even though at that time, you know, I start doing things for the church, I start to be pious, love to spend time praying rosary, saying prayer, but I'm pretty nasty. You know, when there's fight within the church, I can be so nasty that, like, when we have the outer server group in Hong Kong in the school, you know, when somebody opposed to my leadership, I was so heavy-handed. I still regret what I did. You know, there are different things that I did I really regret, you know, because at that time, we just lacked the catechetical training. You know, if I learned the Ten Commandments at earlier on, well, you know, I think I would be not doing many things that I was doing at that time. But because, you know, God was really patient with me, because I taught catechism, and then I took that seriously, so I do have book about the Catholic faith. You know, really basic Catholic faith, the Creed, the Commandment, the Sacrament. And then when I read the Commandment, the Sacrament, you know, I realize something, I need to do something. I need to change something in my life. So actually, for Father Thompson, you know, I go to him and make a long general confession. So that's my third conversion experience. I still remember it was February the 16th, 1996. So I make a long general confession. So I would say that, you know, ordinary speaking, normal people should go backward. They should have the foundation in catechetical, make good confession, and then become pious, and then work for the church. But I think I go backward, you know. So take a bit more time for me to be purified. One of the things I remember was that when I was in Hong Kong, you know, getting pious, you know, also wear the brown scapular. Shortly after I ran the brown scapular, one time I remember it was a bit of a close to death experience almost got killed. You know, when I was walking out, you know, just when I passed by, just right behind me, there was a big stone just fell on the ground. You know, so it was just by a couple seconds that I didn't die. You know, somebody actually target, you know, some of the naughty boys, you know, from the top floor, they just target me and throw a big stone. You know, I don't know what happened, you know, but it's just behind me, the stone just fell, and then I didn't die. So I'm grateful I didn't die, because, you know, before the general confession, if I die, I don't even know where I was going to go, you know. So I'm really grateful that I'm alive and I'm here,
we're
you know.
Grateful too.
Yeah, because you know, that's the time when I started to wear the bronze scapula, and I did promise, you know, those who wear the bronze scapula will not go to hell. So I'm thankful that, you know, Our Lady kept her promise. So that's a pretty close one. Anyhow, when I was in 1996, there was somebody, you know, do ask me to help a couple of people to get ready for their confirmation because of my first RCIA class, and I continue to have people that are coming for instruction. So there was a lady around my age that I gave her instruction. And after that, we become good friends. We talk on the phone a lot. And then we also start to date. So at that time, then I thought, no more priesthood. I'm going to get married. So for the first few months, I think it was pretty romantic, you know. And then we do well, you know. We talk about friendship a few times ago. I can tell you, it's a lot of work to keep the friendship pure. I can tell you that it's a lot of hard work, but we do it. We do. I think when you are dating, a lot of people will be dating not as holy as we are. We go to church together. We pray together. But after a good number of months. I do feel strongly that I was running away from God, really strongly, and then I still feel uneasy, and then of course that was the time when I was at BCIT my first year, the third time I got the nickname Fatherhood is from my classmate, so he still visited me from time to time and brought me cat food. Which killed my cat recently. So my classmate, yeah, he called me Father Ho. He is still not a Catholic. His family is Catholic already. I'm working on him right now. So hopefully he will become Catholic one day. But I would say that's my first year at BCIT, when I was, having computer. It was also the time when I was dating. I remember one thing is interesting though. When we start the relationship, I pray to St. Teresa. And you know that one thing about St. Teresa is, when you pray a novena, quite often you will have roses coming on your way. It happened in my case. So I pray the novena. I think on the last day of the novena, I went to St. Anthony Church. It's roses on the altar, but they all withering, dying roses. So, later on, I read a story of St. John Bosco. And the story was that when there was one of the followers of John Bosco, you know, he was following his vocation to be a religious brother in the Salesian order. But and then he wanted to leave. And so St. John Bosco said to him, when the roses wither, come back. Mm-hmm. Because you go to the world, you feel it's all rosy, but the rose will die. And then you will see it's time to come back. So at that time I didn't quite get it, but after a few months then I know what happened. So the rose wither, and then I feel uneasy in my heart. And then people still think I have a vocation. I think there are priests who indicate that I would, you know, really praying hard for my vocation still. And then there are people around me still think you should think about is basically. Thinking I may still have a vocation, and then so it's a time of some struggle. It's a time that I keep on pushing that away because I wasn't not quite want to give up the relationship. But you know, in the beautiful month of the May, thing happens. You know, one of the May is a good month of Our Lady. In the beginning of the month of May in 1997, that was a confirmation. And then I just don't know, I was praying with a few altar servers before the Mass. And then during that prayer time, I just felt that strong desire to dedicate myself to God. That's a strong desire at that time. So that's the beginning of May. And then that year, in the middle of May, I got something, and that day I got an incident that I wasn't too happy. That something made me upset that day. And then I went at BCIT during the break. I just found a quiet place to hide in my car, in the parking lot. Then I start to pray. And suddenly in the prayer, I don't know why, I got a moment that is certainly so enlightening, an idea just, it's like a light bulb turned on. It's just that one moment that I suddenly see so clearly that I meant to enter the seminary, to be a priest. And then as usual, I want to push that away, you know. But suddenly there's a strong voice inside me say, if you don't, you know, take that, you are not being honest. Then I felt it seems to be, you know, then I thought, you know, now I no longer, the thing that made me upset that day no longer bothered me anymore, but now I got a bigger problem now. I have a vocation. Okay. That's a bigger problem now. How am I going to tell her, you know? Luckily, you know, a few years ago, you know, I still quite, you know, reserved about charismatic movement, but a few years ago, before that, actually, one time I popped into Holy Name Charismatic Group. And then a lady that people told me that she got a lot of gifts, they asked her to pray over. So I said to her, you know, I'm thinking about to be to a vocation, you know, you pray for me. So she prayed for me, and then she claimed that she got message from Jesus that I'm called, that Jesus say I really call you. It won't be easy, but Jesus was going to be with you. I cannot be 100% sure is that true or not, you know, that prophecy from that woman. But I think one thing she did got it right is that the road to the priesthood wasn't easy at all, and that she got that part right though. So anyhow, on May 16, I basically told my girlfriend that particular incident at Holy Name. So she somehow somehow prepared her already. But I would say that the actual time when we actually bring that to the closure is on my favorite feast day of Mary Help of Christians, mm-hmm. May 24th. That's the Madonna of St. John Bosco, May 24th. I don't even remember that when I did that. You know, we're just on the 24th of May, it's a Saturday, like this year, it's a Saturday. We're just on the phone, and then finally, I brought the whole relationship to a closure. And then I felt so peaceful. It's finished. And then now I have to go. So, and I must say, you know, she really supported me all through these years. And so I'm grateful, and it's a sacrifice at that time, not a small one, but it's something that that I would say that is a peaceful decision. It's something that continued to give me peace even years after that. So when I entered the seminary, I still complete my next year of BCIT. I have no clue that what I was learning, you know, because I wasn't keen on computer at all, you know, but I'm good in short-term memorization. So I did memorize everything, and then doing project with people, I just tell people, you do this part, I do that part. And so we managed to get things done. And then by the time when I go to the graduation ceremony, they announce my name, and then they say, graduate with honor. I was the only one in the class graduate with honor, and I'm the only one who is not going to be in the computer industry. So anyhow, that's 1998. So 19, and then in September, on the birthday of Our Lady, September the 8th, then I entered the seminary. I was joking too, you know, I was born on a Tuesday, and I entered the seminary on a Tuesday. I was also ordained on a Tuesday. I'm afraid I might die on a Tuesday when you come back.
You got time yet.
So,
So every Tuesday, I'm extra careful, though, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So. So that's September 8, 1998, when I entered the seminary. You know, since my conversion experience is bad word, so I think God knows I need more purification. So my 8 years in the seminary was not an easy one, I must say. You know, my first couple years, there was, we have people in the seminary. It wasn't a good year at all, my first year, because you have some older seminarians. Basically, they have already decided they have no vocation, but they want to get the diploma, the degree. So they just hand out for the last year. So it wasn't a good atmosphere, and they criticize things here and there. So, you know, sometimes the tongue can be poison, you know. And so I would say that, you know, I just see forth everywhere in my first 2 years in seminary. And I wasn't happy there. You know, I was peaceful in my decision, but many things I just don't quite like it. You know, so it was a pretty struggling 2 years to adjust to the environment. The first 2 years wasn't that easy. And then my third and fourth years, then I got into the major cross, you know, of my mother dying of cancer and died in 2001. In February that year, when she died, you know, we have a prayer gathering for her at home. And also at that day, we started a novena, the novena of Mary Help of Christians. You know, St. John Bosco, Perfect Madonna, the day that when I really, you know, make up my mind. And so we do the novena. And so that year, May 24th, is also Ascension Thursday. So she died the evening before that. So it was basically on the evening when at the beginning of that feast day that she died. And so on the 24th, actually that day, there was like four masses offered for her on one day. You know, Father Hogan did the mass at St. Peter and Paul. Father Thompson did the mass at St. Anthony. Monsignor Brandt did one at the nursing home. And then also the church, when she was sick, she was at the cancer clinic. So I also went to the Ukrainian church at St. Mary. The priest there also did a mass for her on that day. So it's a really tough time for me. You know, after that, I was grieving for a long, long time, and then came to theology. After a couple years of theology, then also I think I drove myself too hard. Also, some of disappointment happened in my life. So I was basically, if you go to a doctor today, they might say it's a general exhaustion. You know, I was just weak. In my third and fourth year seminary, wasn't in good health. It was a time when before that I do think really fast. I was able to finish homework really quick. In my last 2 years, basically I have to drag myself to finish everything. Still managed to get good grade and get things finished, but it's much more difficult. I have to really slow down many of the things. So it wasn't easy 8 years. And then, but you know, by the grace of God, you know, able to finish it, and finally got ordained in 2006, May 30th. One of the important moment of ordination is the laying on of hands, and also of the bishop, you know, praying the consecration prayer with the invocation of the Holy Spirit. That's the exact moment, you know, when the man become priest, when the bishop called the Holy Spirit on the person. I would say one of the important experience that I had, which is a bit unique, and I didn't share much with people, is that on the night of my ordination, the church was packed. It was a warm church, you know. And at the time of the consecration, when we consecrate the bread and wine, you know, for us priests, it's also it's the first time as a priest doing that after ordination. When we are doing the epiclesis, when we lay hand like this, for the bread and wine, I felt my hand like was like burning hot. It was really, really warm. So the Holy Spirit is really there that evening. So that's it's only for that few moments, but I really felt that, you know, the Holy Spirit is really there with me that evening and my ordination. So it's so that's May 30th, you know, 2006. And I think it's one of the good devotion is also to God the Holy Spirit. You know, John Paul II had the devotion to pray the litany of the Holy Spirit every day. And so now I do pick up that devotion, do that every morning, the litany of the Holy Spirit, to pray for the people that I serve, the kingdom you people, but of course also the work that I'm doing. And then in the evening, I like to pray the litany of Loretto, you know, to Our Lady, to pray for the people who ask me for prayer. So those are my two favorite litany. Now,
what did you say the evening prayer was? I didn't understand.
Litany of Our Lady. Hmm. Yeah. So in the last 8 years, of course, I would say it's because before I was ordained a priest, because of the time of my poor health, I was a bit concerned too. But I consulted my spiritual director, both in the seminary and then also Father Hogan. You know, they both feel that no problem, you will get well. Father Hogan, you know, even predict, you know, because of the joy of the pastoral work, you are no longer in the academic work, but in pastoral work, you will gradually get well. So, and then it came true. Yeah, it's in the first few years, you know, like the work in Corpus Christi at St. Patrick, you know, really give me joy. And then I find that, you know, the health gradually getting well. And then in 2009, basically pretty normal. Can get to bed pretty normal. That's the year when we also went on pilgrimage to Fatima, to Lourdes, you know. To Lourdes and to Rome and to other places. Your Father Richard out. So, but after the pilgrimage, you know, interesting things started to happen. You know, it was a time when I also started the column at BC Catholic. Also that year when I started the radio talk, you know, seems like getting better. Then suddenly God sent me more work to do. So that's how I started in 2009. Yeah, that's the thing. It just comes suddenly. Both things come suddenly. They came suddenly. Out of the blue, you know, I don't even know how I would manage to do that. You know, you never dream about to write a column and to do the radio. It just come. It's so interesting. So I do think pilgrimage do bring grace. So that's why after 8 years, I think it's time to go another one to give thanks, mainly to give thanks, but also to pray for more grace. You know, as a priest. So what do we do every day? We sleep, of course, and then we get up in the morning. You know, for me, I think one of the important thing for me for the vocation, you know, talking about something more interior, what really attracted me to the priesthood, of course, is that because in high school I met dedicated priests. Who really dedicate to the people and really dedicate to God, and then of course because of the prayer, because I got really serious about prayer life, love to pray the rosary, love to do prayer, and then also because I want to teach the faith, you know, my conversion experience was a bad word one, you know. But I also realized that, you know, how important for people to have proper catechetical instruction. For some reason, in Hong Kong, we got Bible study, we got religious study, but the catechetical was not that foundational. You know, you don't quite know the seven sacraments that well. You don't quite know the creed that well. You don't quite know the commandments that well. You know, we got Bible lesson, but not the basic one. You know, once I got that, you know, catechism book that I read, and then I make my general confession, it seems like everything, you've got the foundation, then suddenly all the books that I read make sense. So it seems like I got a passion to teach the faith, because I know it's so important. You know, I don't want people to have to go through the way that I go through, to confession backward, you know. So I do have the passion to teach the faith. You know, I do love to teach catechetical. So I've been teaching prayer for many years, and also RCIA, and also now in prayer group, in a way I also continue to do catechetical work. And that's the passion that I have, you know, to teach the faith, to help people to get the foundation firm. Because some people, they might even get involved in church, they might even doing things around in the church, but they don't even know how to make a good confession, or don't even know something is objectively seriously wrong that they should not do it. And so I should, just to teach the basic of the faith, just to make myself available for confession, is something that I want to do because I want to help people get to heaven. You know, if I hit by the stone that day, I would not be there. So I want people to be able to, before they hit by the stone, by anything, able to make their good confession, and also to be able to have the foundational knowledge of the faith. So that's I would say that's quite often as a priest that what we do, you know. But also to pray for people, you know, to pray for conversion, you know. I think many people we help them directly, you know, people that we teach, people that we can hear confession for, you know, or serve, or we baptize, bring into the church. Those are the people we can see, you know, we can see those results. But I think that, you know, a lot of the priestly work, we may not see the result here on earth. And I hope there's much more of those kind of people that we help to save by our sacrifice and prayer. And I do really, you know, two of my favorite story in history, two of my most favorite, you know, for our public revelation. One is a Fatima revelation. That's my really favorite one. So in my first mass, you know, I was ordained May the 30th. My first mass, May the 31st, you know, the Westman is Our Lady of Fatima Westman. And then another, my favorite revelation is the Divine Mercy, you know. So those are the two that really influence my spirituality. And it's something that, you know, also reminding us that we help souls to get to heaven, not just by what we do, but also by our prayer and sacrifice. And so it's something that I also want to make known to people and then help people to also involve in that important work of saving souls, to helping souls to go to heaven. So, you know, I will say that after 8 years, there's not much that I desire. I just want to help all of you get to heaven. And I myself, I can go to heaven before I hit that by a stone, you know. So I think that's the desire, you know. And I thank God of where I am as a parish priest, you know. Bishop Dolan put it interestingly. He gave an example. One time a robber, you know, being asked by the judge, why you robbed the bank, you know. He said, because there's money there. That's how the robber answered. So Bishop Dolan say, you know, why you want to be a parish priest? Because there's souls there are people there. So that's why one of the reasons that I choose diocesan priesthood rather than religious life is because, you know, I want to be with the people in the parish community. You know, because of course being in the Salesian school, you know, one of the first things I would thought about would be the Salesian order. You know, that will be one of my first consideration, but you know, but when I make up my mind in 1997, you know, it was for the diocesan priesthood because of their desire, you know, to be with the people and help the people to make to heaven.
Don't the congregation of peace also help the people as well as the diocesan peace?
Of course, but also because one it will be a bit more direct, you know, more direct to be, you know. I would say, you know, one of the figure that really remind me in like St. John Vianney, you know, he is a saint who becomes saint by doing the priestly thing, you know, by hearing confession, by giving catechetical talk, by visiting the sick, you know. By celebrating Mass devoutly, doing his prayer well, you know, love his parishioner, by just doing priestly thing, a man can become holy.
One thing, just first of all,